Blog
everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Denise Pinnell, and tonight I'm joined by a co-host, Jennifer James of Jen James Beauty. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for, you know, agreeing to come aboard.
Sure.
So Denise is working in Los Angeles for the month, so she may be absent for a few of the shows. You know, I'm not certain how many, but I'll probably have maybe Jennifer on if she'd like to be my co-host for the rest of the month.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Let's do it. I'd love to.
Great, great, great. Well, Jennifer, we're going to kick it over to you, but before we do, let me just give out some information to everyone about how they can call into the show. You can call in to listen by calling 914-803-4399. And if you want to speak to me or to Jennifer or to our guest, you can just press 1 to speak to me and we'll get you on air. And you can listen to the show also by going online and going to www.blogtalkradio.com/illusions-cosmetics, and you can hear the show online. You can also log in, create an account, and join us in the Beauty Lounge, which is the chat room. So we would love to see you all there. And if you have questions, please go ahead and ask away, and we'll get the questions over to our guests. So take it away, Jennifer.
So everybody, first of all, again, I'm glad to be here. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. I listened to Blog Talk Radio before. It's a lot of fun. So get ready to have some real good fun with makeup and cosmetics industry talk. And basically what I'm going to go into with the Beauty News segment is the IMAT show.
Yay.
Everybody out there probably knows, because we're dealing with beauty nistas and makeup artists and all the people that are total makeup enthusiasts. IMAT is the International Makeup Artist Trade Show, which is produced by the Powder Group. And IMAT this year...
Correction.
No, you're absolutely right. Michael Key is the producer of IMAX.
Right.
Sorry about that. Correction. Thank you. So the IMAX show was in the Los Angeles area at the Pasadena Convention Center this past June 26th and 27th, with a few other events that went on the days before and the days after. But the main event was actually that Saturday and Sunday. So if anybody that, you know, has already been to these types of trade events, you know that you enter a huge convention center, which was the Pasadena Convention Center, which is in a lovely area of Pasadena, connected to a lot of restaurants and shops and the typical California feel, which was awesome. You enter into the Pasadena Convention Center, and the energy is simply amazing. When I walked in, I had to have been able to see at least 1,000 people in line at will call to get
right.
their ticket to go on into the show. So attendance was huge for them this year, and I'm sure they're very happy because everybody from everywhere was at this show. I am here to tell you, I met people from states all over. I'm actually located and from Michigan. I met people from New Mexico, California, New York, yada, yada, yada. You name it. If they are into makeup or beauty, they are there. So once we...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jennifer, but you know what? It seems, just talking about the numbers of people in line, it seemed to be like 1,000 people in line just for the prepaid tickets, and then another 1,000 in line to just buy tickets, you know?
Exactly. Will Carr was actually a four-hour wait at one point, and, you know, pre-purchased tickets, so that was very interesting, I found. I happen to be a procrastinator this year, so I got in the show within maybe 15 minutes of entering the building. I felt kind of guilty because all the people that took care of their business were kind of waiting, but it just shows you the magnitude of interest and how excited people are to attend these kind of events. And this, I mean, it was great. You go into the main show floor, and the exhibitors are in the hundreds and from literally from A to Z. A design brushes, first on the list, down to Zucca bags and everybody in between. Major makeup lines. Makeup artist specific makeup lines, all of the different beauty schools that teach film and photography, editorial and fashion, they were in representation. You had a huge number of actually what you consider drugstore lines that had very, very impressive presence, namely NYX. I mean, their display, it seemed to almost take up the whole middle of the showroom. And, I mean, their product selection is really excellent. And if anybody has used any of the NYX products, then you know they do have some very, very respectable items. So you could see why the energy was really clamoring in that area.
Exactly.
Another one that really stood out to me was Denair Airbrush.
Yes.
A lot of people were there receiving demonstrations right on their faces in terms of beauty makeup. They were getting hair paint and designs done by Denair. Denair was really, really promoting the tanning kit that they sell, which was really awesome to be able to see it, you know, being done right on a person right then and there. And, I mean, testing all the products and seeing everything that goes on. And they actually gave away a few airbrush kits to I forget who the people actually said they were. I don't know if it was press or bloggers, but a lot of people were able to take advantage of some really good giveaways, which was awesome in itself.
Yeah.
Another thing in terms of exhibitors that was really interesting. Go ahead, Denise.
No, I was just going to say I was really impressed with their booth this year. It was much larger than years and, you know, in the past. And, I mean, they had makeup artists there airbrushing all day long. And it was just, it was very cute, very, you know, very pretty and pink and, you know, but they were doing a little bit of everything. They were, you know, of course, airbrushing the entire face as far as the base with, you know, goes, but also, you know, doing eyes and cheeks and lips with airbrush and, you know, just giving tips and lessons and, you know, of course, doing like airbrushing tattoos and things like that. So it was really cute and really good to see from them.
I agree. I mean, they covered everything. And I was really interested in the way they did present the whole gamut of airbrush, because there was a huge, huge number of people that attended the show who weren't even makeup artists. These were just regular consumers who were interested in all the things beauty. And it was very cool to see companies like NYX and Denair and Makeup Forever, which is more of a pro line, to actually conform their presentations to the whole crowd of people in attendance, not just to the beauty pros specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting. A lot of the attendants just happened to be regular people and families. I saw dads pushing strollers. It was it was a very cool show. I enjoyed it tremendously.
It was packed. You could barely get through on that Saturday.
I mean, the concession stand stayed. Super long lines. It was very busy. I'm sure they were just ecstatic about the attendance. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Can I give a few seconds to the actual seminars that were presented?
Sure.
It was very cool because on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., the seminars would start, and they presented on several different stages. There was a main stage, And then there were exhibit hall stages and some small classrooms that were kind of off to the side in other parts of the convention center. But it was very cool to see the main stage set up like a runway. It was elevated, and you could really hear well. I got to actually sit down and attend Rocky Cosette's presentation on the main stage, which was very good because along with him dealing with the success and the art of airbrushing, because he's a representative for Kett Cosmetics, which carries a full line of airbrush equipment and supplies, he actually got to deal with some of the ins and outs of customer service, dealing with personalities and the different things. Right. I mean, he had us laughing from beginning to end, and he really gave us some really great, concise advice about how to deal with people, how to be an ambassador, and just to basically build your business by pretty much warming up to people in terms of personality. I thought that was very cool.
Right, and a lot of times that's more important than, you know, your actual makeup skill.
I'm telling you, it worked. I thought even afterwards, I went over to the Kett's floor display, and I commented him again. I'm like, I really thanked him for going into that because a lot of people, they kind of stick to the business or the very thing that they're there to teach, whether it's creature design for TV and film or art of eyebrows or whatever.
Right.
He really gave you some things you can go with in the real world and make it work. So I thought that was really awesome.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think we have Suzanne Patterson on the line. Is that you, Suzanne?
Yes, ma'am. I had a little difficulty getting on, but I'm here.
Oh. Well, thank goodness for that.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. I'm sorry. I came right in on the conversation, so I apologize. I don't know who's talking.
Jennifer Jane, she's co-hosting with me tonight.
Okay. Great. Sorry, I came in the middle of the wrap-up there, so I didn't recognize who was talking.
Yeah, I was telling everyone that Janice is actually working on a project in L.A. for the month of July, so
good to be
a co-host.
Good to be employed.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. So what do you have for us this week, Suzanne?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about 3D, ladies. Yes. In our ever-expanding quest for knowledge and technique, the 3D explosion is here. Hollywood started producing a fairly steady stream of 3D movies in 2009, which makes it now more than a passing fad. The number of releases just this year alone are staggering in 3D. With the highly successful release of Avatar, which was the first movie to go over 2 billion worldwide, they are definitely evolving into an entirely new movie genre of their own. So some people say, oh, it's a fad, but no, I think this is going to be like the standard. In fact, James Cameron, he's a very brilliant techno-nerd director, is kind of what I call him. He developed the Reality Camera System Camera System 1, along with fellow techie Vince Pace, as a way to shoot features in high definition, keeping the stereoscopic 3D. Basically, this is a fusion method that uses two Sony HD cameras, the HDC F950, which is part of Sony's illustrious CineAlta range. These are essentially two separate high-definition recorders whose signals were uniquely modified for capture, but in a single camera body to create maximum depth perception. Cameron then went on to use a modified version of his own invention for his movie Avatar. So studios are ramping it up in 3D. The numbers of theaters with 3D projection capability are rapidly increasing each year, and we're definitely approaching the age where 3D will be the standard in home theaters. And to that end, Panasonic, who has beat Sony to the market with this, has just come out with a 103-inch plasma HD set that has 3D capability. You with me? So far?
I'm writing it all down. Go ahead.
Well,
you know, I take notes every week. So.
Well, you know, as makeup artists, we can't ignore this anymore. And so
right.
To that end, of course, I'm going to talk about right now, how does 3D affect makeup?
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that more than ever, you're going to need really good technique to communicate your artistry to the camera in electronic terms. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So this means that your HD skills and technique absolutely need to be polished. This means strong working knowledge in lighting physics, advanced color theory, and camera mechanics. There's no way that you're not going to be avoid this kind of working knowledge. If you have done green screen or blue screen work and you have experience with blue or green screen makeup inks for digital posting out those areas, then you can just consider that entry level now. Seriously.
Wow.
Okay, that's entry level stuff. The blue and screen inks, you know how careful, I don't know if you've worked with them, but they have to be very, very carefully applied through an airbrush. There's two different kinds of green pigment. One that can be stabilized in an ink, but they haven't really been able to stabilize one for as a direct paint on. But I think that's, you know, at the rate things are morphing in makeup, I think that's pretty soon going to be a reality. But, you know, I've had to airbrush green screen and blue screen inks very, very, very carefully for digital posting. So now that's just entry-level stuff, all right? Makeup for 3D is going to require some good working knowledge and ideally some experience with the visual effects companies, believe it or not. Okay, because the makeup work you do for 3D may require that you work very closely with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what's on the horizon here. For you guys, not for me, but for you guys, because I'm an old lady who is getting settled in her old age here. So this is passing it off for the young. And I, you know, I'm kind of a techno nerd myself, so I do keep up with this. Okay, but so again, let's use Avatar as an example, all right? So the makeup for Avatar required the creation of new kinds of makeup, okay? Phosphorescent paints that were used to create those really beautiful, stunning images in 3D. It was necessary to have products compatible with the advanced computer system being utilized using pigments with fluorescence and phosphorescent properties, so that it would key in properly with the computers during post editing. I have, you know, hardly any experience with these new things. It's kind of like, you know, neon paints on steroids, okay? You know, kind of thing. I guess that's kind of what I would akin it to. So instead of painting green or blue screen inks, you will need to know how to make an organic grid of the face, and that means making hundreds of specific markers on the face in real time so that the architecture you create of the face scans into the computer as an exact composite. It has to be identical. No rooms for errors on this, as each actor must match their architectural composite throughout the entire filming in order for the makeup to be seamless in post and to the viewer. You still
amazing.
With me? You still with me?
I'm with you.
Hang in there. Okay. So I'm telling you, because placement and symmetry are so critically central in the computers through the editing process, this means that makeup artists will absolutely have to be highly skilled and very, 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 very detail-oriented. This is cutting-edge filmmaking that requires great precision and an eye for scanning fine detail in order to accommodate the needs of the visual effects team. And that's it in a nutshell.
Amazing.
Wow. You know, you should be writing a book.
I'm serious. I mean, if 3D is going to be the norm, you got your work cut out for you, because if what we've seen in film for the last 2 years is any indication... And think about the enormous process that went through with the curious case of Benjamin Button,
right,
how he had to age backwards.
Right.
So my hat's off to Tegan Taylor for pioneering this process. And I hope I leave you wanting more.
Definitely.
All right.
Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Well, that's why I teach High Definition Makeup University. So looking forward to the students that are going to attend this weekend. And by all means, lighting, you need to take Sarah's lighting class in a couple of weeks because this is really going to help you on your way towards this end. All right.
Can you leave us with the information to get more information on the class and how you can be contacted about that?
About Sarah's class?
Uh-huh.
Or the class this weekend? Well, the class this weekend, you can go to my website at suzannepatterson.com. And at Sarah's, you can go to sarahseidmanvance.com. That's SEIDMANVANCE is how she spells her last name, and it's SARA. And click on the workshops there. And she'll be holding it up here in D.C. at our studio. So.
Great.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I'll see you next time.
All right. We thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Now it's time.
That was incredible.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It always is. That's why I sit silent, and I just take notes.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that like 15 times to get everything that she said. Incredible. But it kind of did tie to some other things that I experienced at the IMAT show. But we can go into that when we get a minute with Anthony.
Okay. Well, no further ado, our guest tonight is
Ms. Wait a minute. I don't mean to interrupt, Denise. Did I see something, some kind of buzz or something on Facebook and Twitter about you guys having some special announcement?
Oh, I almost forgot. How could I forget? Yes. We have a very special announcement tonight. We wanted everybody who's listening to us tonight and who's out there on Twitter and Facebook, we'll be putting more information out there about it. But coming soon is Beauty Talk, the web series. So we've been working very hard to bring this to you, and we're super, super excited. And there are people who've been wondering what we were doing, what we were talking about, and
being all secretive.
Right, exactly. So that's what it is. It's Beauty Talk, the web series, and it's coming to you very, very soon. And we'll put more information out on Twitter and Facebook on, you know, how you can see that and when it's going to be available. And, you know, season one is done, and season two will start soon. So just stay tuned.
Congratulations. That is awesome. Awesome news. I couldn't imagine what it could have been. I should have known it was something like that. That is so great for you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, Mr. Anthony Moranti, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
We're great. I know we had you sitting there waiting for a minute, but...
No, I was enjoying the conversation.
Good. Well, let's get started. So tell us, Anthony, just give us a little bit of feedback on, you know, who you are, how you got your start. Everybody's interested. We're all waiting.
Okay. Well, my name is Anthony Moranti, and I am a Los Angeles-based makeup artist, and I specialize mostly in beauty, red carpet, celebrity, and editorial makeup. Beauty is really is probably my favorite genre of makeup to really practice and do on a day-to-day basis. What else?
How long have you been in the business?
I've been doing makeup since 2002.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm having my 8th year anniversary right now.
Congratulations! Yay! Did we get a cake?
Thank you.
No. So how are you celebrating? That's the question.
Celebrating by working a lot. I've been really, really busy for the last few months, which I'm really thankful for. So, yeah, that's how I'm celebrating, by doing more makeup.
Yeah.
Is there any other way to, is there another better way to celebrate than doing that?
No. Unless you.
I'm going to have to.
Unless you spend the money that you made doing the makeup.
No, I like to save it.
Okay. Well, we're going to go with that.
Save it for a rainy day.
Okay, that's good. So tell us, Anthony, like how did it all start? Like how did, you know, was it always your desire to be a makeup artist?
No, actually it wasn't. When I was in high school, I really played with the idea of being an architect and a photographer. And those were my two things that I really, really loved besides running track and cross country. And when I graduated high school, I didn't really know where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do, and I hadn't really made much of a decision yet. And so I decided to go to community college, and I realized I did not like that at all. And I applied to a couple art schools, and I got accepted to a school called Otis, down in Los Angeles by LAX, and I got accepted to another school called Art Center in Pasadena. And,
oh, okay. I've heard of Art.
Still wasn't sure if that was what I wanted to do, and so I decided to take a little time off, and I got a job, and unfortunately I got sucked into my job. And I stayed there for about 7 years. But while I was working there, I decided, while I was in high school, I was doing a lot of photo shoots for myself, and I was doing the hair and makeup and for all of my own photo shoots. And that's kind of where my makeup started. And then...
So your job that you were doing, what was that?
I was working at a hospital. I was working at UCLA Medical Center. It had nothing to do with makeup, and it just was. I just fell into the position, and I stayed there, and you know, I got really comfortable, and I just realized it wasn't the place for me. So I decided to go to makeup school in 2002. And the reason I decided I wanted to be a makeup artist is because it started to become a hobby of mine, and I wasn't even aware of it. I was doing friends' makeup all the time. I did some friends' weddings, and, you know, I did a couple photo shoots for friends and headshots and all kinds of stuff. And I never really intended to be a makeup artist. It just sort of fell into place. And I got less interested in photography and more interested in makeup. So I decided to go to makeup school to get a little training. And I ended up going to Joe Blasco in Los Feliz, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied there for about 6 weeks. I just took a beauty course. It was really quick, and I went Monday through Friday, and I learned a lot. Joe Blasco is an amazing makeup artist and such an amazing guy to learn from. And ever since then, you know, in 2002, I've just been freelancing on my own and hustling and doing photo shoots and meeting all sorts of creative, amazing people, and that's where I find myself now.
Right. Now, I'm sure there are people out there who, you know, they're listening to you, but they're wondering, how do I do that, though? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but how do I get started? How do I get it going? So you were out there doing your photo shoots and all your different jobs, like, but how do they get started? Like, what was your path?
Well, my path, I never really had a mentor. I never, most of my education besides my education from Joe Blasco was by books, by internet, by Googling, you know, any makeup technique, any keyword, anything. I took my time while working at the hospital to really sit there and basically browse the computer and just look up makeup all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I taught myself. I did all kinds of research on every type of makeup technique, and now I'm addicted to YouTube. I learned so much from YouTube, some of these bloggers and these people who do all these little demos of recreating makeup from music videos and stuff like that. But I really, you know, I just did a lot of research on it. I never really had the mentor that a lot of other people I work with have.
Right, and that's so important because I never had that either. And I'm so glad you brought that up because, and I always say all the time that when I first started, the internet, and I'm not trying to make myself seem like I'm so old, but the internet was just not what it is today. It was very new, you know, very new, and you didn't have as much information as you have now. You definitely didn't have YouTube, definitely didn't have people on there doing demos or anything like that. There was no Facebook, no Twitter, no MySpace. Basically, you know, you could get a Hotmail address, no Gmail, you know, Hotmail and Yahoo. So, you know, to go on there, and that's what I did. I would go online, and I would just research anything. I would research about skincare, research, you know, makeup. But there just wasn't enough information there. So it's so important for people who are, you know, starting today and they want to be makeup artists, go online. You don't have to always find somebody who's doing it. Go online. Because trust me, some people
who are,
and that's another thing. That was another thing I was going to get to. I lived in Barnes & Noble. I lived in Borders. I lived in any bookstore that had a makeup book in there. You know, I was online. Makeup Artist Magazine. I got a subscription to Makeup Artist Magazine. There was nothing else like that around. So I also, they have a little section where you can order makeup books on their website.
They sure do.
And that's how I learned a lot of things like special effects and things like that. You buy the videos. And that's why the trade shows are so important. And we're talking about, you know, the big numbers at IMAX this past June. But when I first went to an IMAX show back in 2001, I mean, they had great crowds, great vendors, but it was nothing like it was this year. Nothing like
that. Not at all. No, it has really
grown. So, I mean, you know, there are plenty of things you can do before you go to anyone. So my suggestion is always do your research first. Then when you go to someone, to look to someone to be a mentor or to, you know, to give you a hand or to help you out, they'll take you seriously because they know you've done your homework.
Exactly. Can I add that because everything is at your fingertips, there's really no excuse for a young makeup artist coming up, starting out, just jumping in, to not really have a lot of the homework done about the history, technique, and different things like that, and even how to thrust yourself into the right people's presences to get yourself noticed. It really is all there on the internet, and you just kind of have to be a student of everything that's out there and make it happen, like Anthony just said he did, and like you said you did. It's out there. Go for it.
Even before the internet, you know, even before I even went to makeup school, I would buy books. Like Kevin Aquan, I got like 6 books 1 year for Christmas. And even before I became a makeup artist, I would take those books and I would go and I would get any friend that I possibly could that would let me put makeup on their face, and I would recreate those looks and practice. And I would, and because I had been doing makeup for 3 years before I even went to makeup school, I felt I needed that training. When I look back on it now, I feel that I probably should have assisted more than actually going to get technical training at a school.
Good point.
There's lots of ways for anyone. You have to. I remember Janice Dickinson saying one time that when she was 9 years old, she knew every single living supermodel, photographer, magazine, you name it. She knew she wanted to be a supermodel, and she schooled herself on learning all of those people's names and positions and what they did and what they're responsible for, and, you know, from stylist to makeup artist, you name it. And to me, you know, I feel like as a makeup artist, you need to know every designer, every photographer, every hairstylist, fashion stylist, you know, all of that.
Can I get Anthony to touch on a little further the aspect of the importance of testing and assisting?
And after you do that, Anthony, we're going to take a call. Okay.
Testing, to me, is the most creative outlet with doing makeup.
Absolutely.
You know, I get booked on jobs all the time, and it's the same pink lip gloss, and it's the same NARS blush that I use, and the same beige eyeshadow, and it's just a lot of times it's doing the same makeups over and over and over again. When I'm doing a test, which I do approximately about once a week,
mm-hmm.
I'm able to keep my books so fresh that I have such high turnaround on my own portfolio that I can take down 30 images and replace 30 images almost every single month. Testing is really important because it also puts you in front of new potential clients like photographers or art directors or even working with other hairstylists or fashion stylists that can also bring you on to other jobs who can also in turn put you in touch with different hairstylists and different makeup artists and fashion stylists and different photographers that you wouldn't normally have access to.
Right.
I feel very strongly about testing, and no matter what point you are at in your career, testing is always important.
Always. Thank you. Thank you.
It keeps you fresh. It keeps you fresh.
Keeps you fresh.
We have
exactly.
A call.
A lot of
students. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Even before, even sometimes before a photo shoot, I've scheduled a test with a photographer to test out certain looks, and then I show a client, this is what I was thinking, and they're like, exactly. So sometimes it's also great just to not only build stuff for your book, but to test out certain looks under photographic light, you know, before
right.
you go to a job.
Yeah.
So it's very important. Testing is very important.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Let's see if they have a question. Hello,
hello.
Caller. Are you? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking to?
Erica.
Hi, Erica.
How are you?
Hi, Erica. Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I have a question. I have a question for Anthony. You know, since you're very experienced in your field and you probably have worked with plenty of cosmetic lines, which one is your favorite and which one do you prefer for African-American skin?
Good question. I use several different lines. I mean, I use CoverGirl,
mm-hmm.
I use Revlon, I use MAC, I use Clé de Peau, I use Shiseido. There really isn't one line that I specifically use. I do love
mm-hmm.
Makeup Forever. A brand that I would are you talking about foundation for African Americans?
Yes. Yes.
Some of the ones that I like to use are Bobbi Brown makes amazing dark skin colors.
Mm-hmm.
Some other brands I have used but do not have in my kit is Black Opal.
Okay.
Yay, love it.
their range is kind of small. I think they only have like 8 to 10 shades, but their color ranges are really, really beautiful. Some other ones, they're more of a professional brand, is RCMA has these amazing palettes that have like 24 colors in it and different shades of foundation, and from pinks to, you know, olive undertones to blue undertones. To red undertones, and you can't go wrong with RCMA. That's my top pick for African-American skin.
And don't forget to try Illusions Cosmetics for African-Americans, too, illusionsbeauty.com.
Yes, of course.
I wasn't trying to plug myself. I wasn't trying to plug myself, but, you know, I was going to let Jen do that.
I just became familiar with Illusions Cosmetics. I've been looking at the website all week. I'm sorry for leaving that one out.
Oh, no problem. We were going to get it out.
Well, thank you so much, Anthony. Your work is amazing, amazing. Keep
You're
up
welcome,
the great
Erica.
Work.
Thanks for
now,
calling.
Now, Erica, are you a makeup artist?
Yes.
You are, okay. And how long have you been doing makeup?
Up for 4 years.
4 years, okay.
What's
been some of your challenges?
Some of the challenges have been, other than the talent, maybe sometimes doing more testing. I find myself, I do need to test more.
Okay.
I definitely assist a lot, which is a good thing because I've learned a lot assisting. But one of the challenges that I do have is, like, the testing. I could do that way, way more than what I have. And also the other issue that we have is sometimes with rates, I'm really bad with negotiating rates because I hate to talk about money. I hate it, but I love it because I need it. But it's really
right.
hard for me to discuss rates with people because I don't want to give a rate that's too high where I pretty much talk myself out of a job. But
right. What market are you calling from?
Excuse me?
What market are you in? Where your location?
Oh, I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that's the biggest challenge would have to be the rate. It's so hard. Everyone has no, you know, everyone that calls no budget, it's limited budget, you know, and it's just difficult. It's difficult doing that because you don't want to market yourself as free all the time.
Right. You shouldn't do that.
Otherwise, people will just call you just for that, and then you're not really making any profit. But you don't want that to be, like, the number one reason either.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah, sure.
Please do.
Okay. The situation with rates, really know your worth. If you really come up with some rates, you know, you don't have to start off with a, you know, 1500, 800, you know, 3000. Start off with a rate that you're comfortable with, you know. When I was starting out, I like to start off with basically $100 an hour. And,
right.
you know, if you want me for 8 hours, then it's $800. If you want me for 4 hours, then it's $500. You know, and really stick to your guns. You know, there's a lot of jobs out there that are free that are not paying. And
yeah.
I do them all the time. You know, I'm not going to say that I don't do them because there is a lot of them that I do, especially editorial. You know, editorial sometimes only pays $200, $100, and sometimes it's
right.
even free.
Right.
You really have to gauge is that what can the job do for you? If you're doing a free job and you get absolutely nothing out of it, then don't do it.
Right.
You know, but sometimes doing a free job can put you in front of a client that you normally
right.
wouldn't work with, and he'd be like, wow, Erica, that makeup was amazing. I'm going to hire Erica on my next job. You know, so you
right.
really have to, it's hard to gauge, but you really have to, you know, to gauge how, if it's going to work out for you or not, if it's just another free job, someone looking for a free job. I get hundreds of emails a week asking me to do, you know, trade for prints from models from people who are not really models. They're just looking for a free photo shoot and stuff like that. And I look at it, well, what can this do for me? Is this someone that I want to put in my portfolio? You know, is the photographer amazing? You know, and if it's not, then I just, you know, I kindly decline the, you know, the offer. But, you know, you really have to gauge it.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you're not getting your worth, then go out there and make sure you're getting your skill level up and you're building your education. And that way you're
right.
more competitive.
Right. And sometimes it's just hard for me to ask for them. I mean, you know, sometimes people come to you at a job that you've worked with before, and they're like, oh, it's free. But if you tell them, you know, I need a kit fee, they'll automatically come up with the money for the kit fee. And I just find that always so strange. But,
right.
I, you know, I'm one of those people that I just feel like you should always get paid for your work. Like, even when I have – like close friends that sometimes will do my hair when my hairstylist is out of style. I mean, like, I always like to pay them. I always think that's just, like, the right thing to do. So when someone tries to, like, get over on you on free stuff.
And, Erica, yeah, that's absolutely right. You know what? We need you to leave us your email because I have some information that I can shoot directly to you that can help you with this in terms of building, you know, dealing with the business aspect where you can build your confidence that way, too, which is equally as important. Drop us your email. We're going to get you a ton of information about this. You're going to get this done, girl.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem.
But that's important though. You know, just having the confidence because you have to have the confidence when you're going in and negotiating your rate.
Right.
You know, you can't be like, well, you know, what's your budget, and you know, well, I'll try to work. No, you just have to go in knowing what you're worth.
Right, and they'll sense the tone in your voice when you tell them your rate.
Yeah.
If you tell them your rate
yeah.
is $1,000 and you don't hesitate with that, they're going to be like, wow, Erica means business.
Right. And
you know,
then if they
go in there,
they say,
yeah.
If they say they don't want to pay you that, then you say thank you very much.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly what you do. You know, and if they can't offer you, at least offer you a kit fee, you know, of $100 or you know, something like that, then it's, you know, you just have to start to look at it like, well, you know, they're just looking for a freebie or a handout.
Right.
You know, and what we do is a job. It's not a hobby.
Right.
It's a hobby. It's a hobby to some, but what we do is an actual career choice. And you know, there's a lot of jobs out there that want to pay you just in makeup. Even cosmetic companies do it all the time. Can you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that photo shoot? We'll give you makeup. And, you know, I got enough makeup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
My assistant knows. She carries my bags.
Thank you so much, Erica. We do appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we have another caller if you're willing to take another call.
Sure.
Okay. From Los Angeles again. Hello, caller.
Hello.
How are you?
This isn't a caller. This is Maxie.
I don't know your number, Maxie.
Hey, oh, Maxie. My gosh. Well, this is Maxie. I am actually a caller. I have a lot to say about this subject. I totally agree with all of your guests today, but I just want to add on that when you are doing a photo shoot, even if you are in need of building your portfolio, it is every single aspect of that shoot that must be impeccable, not just your makeup, but or the model or the photography. Actually, the wardrobe and the hair, everything has to come together for the shoot, or that shoot is a waste of your day, number one.
Yes.
I also feel that we should get paid for our work, but there are instances, you know, when the barter system does work out for you in the beginning of your career. It's when we get more, you know, settled that it becomes unsettling to be asked to do these free job. But in the beginning, there is this barter system that does work out, that does get you to the next level, that you have to sort of finesse, and you have to be able to get the photos from the photographer, and you have to be able to follow up and make sure every aspect of the shoot, like I said, is like a beautiful model and great photography. You have to actually research every single person that's on that shoot to make sure that you are going to get the image in the end. So it's not a waste of your time. But in addition to that, I just had to disagree with one thing for those of you out there that are just starting your careers. You're worth not only $1,000, there's people who are making $5,000, and you know, there's people who are making all different rates of money. But when you decide upon a rate, you do have to stick to that rate, or it's not a rate at all. But when you're pitching your rate to somebody, let's say somebody's doing a great music video that gets, you know, you the chance to start building your reel, or say someone does call you you've worked with in the past and asks you for a favor. Well, that favor for me in the past has turned into many, many jobs. Like there is that feeling of guilt that people have when they use you for like a kit fee or whatever, to where they do hire you in the future. I've noticed on a lot of occasions for me in my, you know, in my career. So I have said to people, no. I've said no to $1,500, but I've said yes to $500 before. I've said, you know, it all varies depending on the job and the value of the job for your own future. Like their editorial shoots in magazines pay $150 or nothing, but you need those shoots.
Yeah.
So you have to just make sure you specify for new people that, yes, be confident, say your rate, you're $1,000, but also know some jobs don't pay that much, magazines don't pay that much, music videos or the budgets are all fluctuating, and you have to sort of make proper decisions based on each job, not just stick to your guns and be like, I mean, I regretted, believe me now that the rates are so different in my world, I regretted the 100 jobs I turned down that were $1,500. and back in the past, back in the day. I was like, oh, no, you call me when you get the money. I'd love to work with you in the future. Like, that's what I would do. But now I wish I had all those jobs.
Now we're all trying to eat. I mean, times are hard. Everybody's feeling the pinch. You know, production companies, record companies, you name it, everybody's cut their budget. So now, you know, we're all taking jobs that we probably would have, you know, never have taken before. You know, $500 is not so bad now if you're not working. It's better than unemployment.
sad but true. But again, just based on the job, like if you're doing an artist, for instance, a new artist that's with a record label, their budgets, they don't want to invest that much in that artist in the beginning. So it starts off at a certain budget, but then they turn into Lady Gaga.
Right.
Or then they turn into whatever it is. So I turned down the first Avril Lavigne video because of money. I turned down the first Britney Spears video because of money. I, instead of the Britney Spears video, did a Dr. Dre video. Okay, been there, done that. They were shot the same day. And let me tell you that I regret it to this day. Avril Lavigne turned down her first video to do a Nelly video. A Nelly the Rapper video, which, you know, Avril's out there still to this day, and her artists are making major money. Not that the loyalty is so strong that I would still be working with those artists, but it would have been great to say I did Britney's first video.
Yeah.
And I turned it down because it was a $500 job, and I instead did, you know, $2,000 rap video.
But also you have to think, you have to, even though you're established in your, you were established in your career at that time, you also have to think of it as almost as if you were a brand new makeup artist again, because this is a brand new talent. You don't know if she's going to go anywhere. You don't know if she's not. You know what I mean? So it's like we have to sometimes take that gamble and just, you know, do them. Me personally, I would have picked the Britney Spears video besides that rap video, because I hate those. But I would have probably.
I know, but it was Dre, and he had just started Aftermath, and you don't know. I was like, I was all on it. You know what I mean? Like, I was. It was a big thing at that moment, and then this chick, Britney Spears, was not. But it still was a bad decision in the end, whether I like rap videos or not. To this day, when I do rap videos now, I cringe.
Tell me why it was bad. Why is it bad? Because you.
Well, I'm crying. I cry now because I established myself in the rap world, but now I cry on my way to rap videos, and sometimes I cry on my way home from rap videos. But I feel that if I had made the proper decision to take a female artist for less money, it would have eventually grown into, you know, Britney would have fallen in love with me, of course, and I would have at least worked with her for the first two albums, and before, you know, I had to cuss her out or whatever. But I'm saying that I wish that I had chosen, you know, that. I feel it was a bad decision because it would have been a great thing to say that I did those stupid pigtails and that, you know, that silly makeup that she had on. I still would have, you know, liked to have done that video just to say that I had done it because it's an iconic video.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not.
Anthony, I was wondering if Anthony had a similar situation like that.
No, not an exact situation, but there's a lot of jobs that I've said no to, and there's a few jobs that I've said no to that, you know, have happened. I'd rather not mention them, but every job has a different raise, you know, like Maxie was saying with the editorial to, you know, to music videos, but I still think it's really important to have a set rate. If someone calls you and asks you, you know, what's your rate, you know, of course I always say, like, well, what's the job, what's it for, how many people, you know, what are the hours, et cetera, et cetera. And then I gauge, you know, how much I'm going to, you know, of course they usually talk me down, you know, can we, you know, we only have 2,000. We don't have any rate for your assistants or, you know, but I feel it's really important to start high and let them talk you down as opposed to starting low and not being able to get more money.
Totally. For sure. Because sometimes you find out that they actually have $3,500 for you. I mean,
exactly.
Sometimes people do have the money, and they're just sort of feeling it out. And it's a game almost. And you do have to have a rate that you stick to, or it's not a rate, like I said. But, you know, that, and by the way, though, I don't care how many people are on the job. Like, once I'm there, I count my time as the rate, not the amount of work I'm doing there that day. Like,
right.
I'm
Anthony
there.
Mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. I don't care if I'm doing 20 girls or one girl. It's my time that I'm there.
Right.
Videos, I would rather be doing 20 than one, because then you're bored out of your mind for 20 hours. I'd rather be doing 20 makeup.
On videos, I like to have the artist and the lead people, the lead girls. And then I usually have, like, a team of people that I design the look for the background or whatever, or the other people. But it gets hard, those 20 girls, day after day, because everybody wants 20 girls. Everybody wants 50 girls. That's 50 sets of eyelashes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not plopping on individuals on those girls, just so you know. I'm just, like, slapping on
the
script. So, I mean, I have to do what I have to do. Sometimes I literally have girls. This is what happened to me the other day on a video, by the way. They were like, on the Flow Rider video that I'll talk to you guys about. Anyhow, they had a pickup shoot day. And they were like, okay, we have 20 girls for the pickup shoot day. How much time do you want? And how many assistants do you need? I said, well, if I have two assistants and 3 hours, that breaks down to about 9 minutes for hair and 9 minutes. Like, I just broke it down to them like that. That each person would actually be sitting in the chair for 9 minutes for hair and 9 minutes for makeup in the end, if it broke down like that. And I was like, how good do you want these girls to look? Because sometimes they think like 2 hours is a lot of time, even when there's girls. They don't realize that there's only two or three makeup artists and hairdressers, and it breaks down to actually just a few minutes for makeup and a few minutes for hair on these jobs. So on the Flow Rider video, his new upcoming video, you will see fabulous girls that have had 5 minutes of hair and 5 minutes of makeup because they did not even give me the 3 hours to get all those girls ready. I, in fact, only got 2 hours.
Right.
And FYI, they had me do the wardrobe as well, like look through their clothes and dress the people. So you'll notice that the new Flow Rider video actually has a little more flair than past RAF or Flow Rider video. I dressed the guys and the girls and did hair and makeup in 2 hours with two assistants, 20 girls and like 10 guys.
That's a lot. That's a lot. But let's change the topic for a quick second, because I want to find out from Anthony, what inspires you?
A lot of other makeup artists inspire me. I'm constantly, you know, like we were talking about earlier, I'm always online, you know, looking up looks and techniques. I have a really large collection of photography books and art books and also makeup books. Those really inspire me. Magazines inspire, especially European magazines like Ten, Italian Vogue, French Vogue, British Vogue. Those are, you know, a few of my favorite magazines I like to, you know, take inspiration from. Sometimes it's even like going, you know, as random as going to a flea market and seeing a really cool hat and wanting to do a beauty story with the hat, you know, or, you know, just nature.
Right. So is that like for, you know, some of your looks, is that how you get ideas for some of your looks, or are you just basically going off of, like, your particular job and what, you know, a photographer is looking for?
Well, usually, like, I do a lot of beauty stories, so what I'll do is I'll be inspired by, like, one image that I find, you know, and it could be, you know, a really old book, like a Helma Newton book, and it could be an image from, like, the 70s, and I will turn, you know, just this one single image into a beauty story. And I'll just take elements from what I'm looking at and turn it into my own vision.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it just snowballs from there. I don't, you know, I don't pick a lot of images and create a story out of it. I usually just pick a single image. And I start, you know, sometimes going through my own kit and looking at, you know, certain bags that I don't really use anymore, and going through my bags and finding, you know, purple lipsticks and black lip gloss and stuff like that, and being, oh, wow, I want to use this and create a story. You know, even makeup really inspires me, just makeup in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very soothing listening to you talking about makeup.
I was really
getting into it.
tell us a little bit, because, you know, we spoke about IMATS earlier. Tell us a little bit about your IMATS experience, and you taught a class, and I loved it, and I recorded the whole thing, so I have to put it up on YouTube.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I was waiting to hear what you were going to say.
Yeah, I'd have to approve that one before you posted that one. There was a few questions that I was not understanding, and it was so hard for me in that room. But yeah, I went to the trade show, and it was insane on Saturday. It was so crowded. I only stayed for a few hours because we really could not walk around anywhere. It was too hard to see anything, and there was like 3 hours to look at the Makeup Forever counter, and I could have spent that time at a Sephora. You know, it just was so crowded. But I did spend the whole day on Sunday, and I looked at a couple classes. I sat in on, I think, like a bridal runway show, and I think I sat in on a few minutes on a Makeup Forever demonstration. And but I really got to go and look at all the new items that they have out, or things that will be launching soon, and, you know, checked out all the new makeup schools, and there were so many brush companies out, and
yeah.
I loved all the airbrush stuff from, you know, Dynair to Obsessive Compulsive to Temptu to, you know, all of those. And I got to teach a class on Sunday, and I did a 1 hour demo of airbrushing for Temptu. And I did a demo of one beauty look, and then I did an avant-garde look. I recreated a look for my creative beauty section on my website.
Okay.
And
My favorite section. Oh, my God.
Is my creative beauty?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But, yeah, that was a really fun class. I had a really great turnout. I was really happy. But I wasn't aware of how big the rooms were before I got to the show, so I had a little bit of a panic attack an hour before my class.
Yes, because you found me on the showroom floor, and you said, have you seen the room that I'm in? And so I'm saying to you, yeah, I have. It's kind of small. And you're looking at me like, no, I thought it was too big.
They're huge. Those rooms are huge.
Well, I mean, I missed last year's because I had to work, but the year before that, the classrooms were not that big, and because it was in the older building, you know, the tent. And I never remember the classes being that big, and when I walked in just to look at the class, I mean, there was a massive projection screen, and there was a stage, and there was lights set up, and there was a cameraman, and it just was a little bit more than I was expecting. I wasn't expecting any of that. So I was a little bit overwhelmed, but
I had to have a
glass of wine between me and you before I taught my unorthodox class a year ago. It's really scary because they're staring at you, and they want information. They want to know what's up.
they do want information, and they want exact, specific, technical, you know. Information, and unfortunately, I don't really pay attention to, you know, pressure and how many drops of foundation, you know, names of things. I just sort of do it, and that was really interesting to me that they really wanted hardcore, exact information.
Yeah, they want every little detail, what colors you're using, what, you know, the brand names and things like that. And sometimes it's a little difficult when, you know, you have a certain style of teaching and you just want to get through you know, what you're doing. And but you're, you know, you're stopped by questions like that, you know, what color are you using and what brand is it and things like that. But I have my sister on the line. It looks like she's able to talk to us, so I'm going to go ahead and answer this line. Are you there?
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great.
How are you?
Good. Hi, Jen. Hi, Anthony. Hi, Maxie. How are you guys doing?
We're excellent.
Where are you
excellent.
At?
Excellent.
I am in Los Angeles working.
What? You're here? Why haven't I seen you?
Because you have to wait till my day off, which is on Monday. I'm
what are you shooting? What are you
working.
Doing?
I'll tell you when I see you.
Uh-oh, I'm excited. TV show. Wait, 6-day work week. It's a TV show.
Yes, it is.
And let me see. We could probably break it. Okay, I'll ask you when I see you.
Stop
so, by the way,
kids.
What?
I said, stop trying to guess.
I know. Well, I could guess it was a TV show, but I couldn't narrow it down to what show. But, by the way, just a little thing, interjection. We're talking about makeup and all the new products and eye masks and blah, blah, blah. Well, what I've done recently is reduce my kit. And I have found that to be the most inspirational thing ever.
I agree, yes.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm forcing myself to blend colors together. I'm forcing myself to create the foundation colors with less foundations. With less to start with. Like, normally I have, like, 20 or 30 different things. I've narrowed it down. All lipsticks when I even use lipstick, will be blended. I'm going to create my own colors of everything from now on, even shadows. I'm trying to do all loose pigment shadows to create my own browns, my own everything. And it has really been so inspirational. Like, you guys know, because you guys have all done it recently, and maybe we're all, like, sort of in tune with this reduction of the kit thing. But I have this little bag now that goes over my shoulder, and it has my entire kit. And, I mean, I could paint an ostrich on the side of your head, or I could just give you a beauty look, whatever it is, just with this little bag.
And I must say,
bottles,
I must say, for this particular job that I'm on now, I packed lightly, and so you're right, Maxie. This is very new for me, dealing with less product, less brushes. Anybody who knows me knows I love makeup brushes, and I'm traveling with maybe a quarter of what I'm normally used to working with, and it's been a little different, let's just say that, but it's working out.
It's liberating. It's liberating, and also, after having hundreds of brushes, guess how many I really use? I use about 20 brushes.
Right.
Not, you know.
But you know, when you work on television and film, and you have more than one person to do, and you're doing them back to back, you need a lot of brushes because a lot of times there's no time for stopping, cleaning. You just have to keep moving. So
right.
This is a little different for me.
Or
good.
You could just clean, like when you use a brush, dip, clean, use a brush, dip, clean. But I understand having powder brushes, extra powder brushes on hand, I guess, and lip brushes,
yeah.
You know, whatever, just disposables, you know, whatever. But I feel so free. Every morning I would worry, what am I forgetting? What am I leaving behind? What will they ask me to do out the blue? Out the blue, they will want something crazy, and I won't have it in my kit. So I would come with all these bags. But now I've really been able to strategically narrow it down to where I don't need all that stuff. I really don't. I can blend it together like I did when I first started, when I had my 2 Max Factor bottles or whatever, or tubes. Like, when I first started, I had 2 lipsticks, 2 liners, 2 foundations. You know, sorry to acknowledge my own mascara I was utilizing. But
well, let me just
I started...
Let me, let me just say really quickly, because I just wanted to call in and say, Anthony, I'm really enjoying your interview. It's been really great. And the caller, Erica, that called in a little earlier, I kept trying to get on, but, you know, every time they say, okay, we'll be ready in 10 minutes, it was more like 2 minutes, so I didn't get a chance to call in and talk, and I wanted to participate in the conversation. But also I wanted to say to Jen, you are doing a fabulous job, and thank you so much for filling in.
Oh, thank you.
I really do appreciate it.
Really thank you.
Appreciate
I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
And see, she didn't even say anything about her own sister. Did you hear that? It's okay. You know, while we're talking about makeup kits, Anthony, like, what do you have in your kit? If you're going to go and do, let's just say, a model headshot, or an actor's headshot. Like, what do you have in your? Do you have that same kit that you would have if you were going to do a nice beauty shot?
Yes. Like Maxie was saying, how he, you know, was so afraid that he'd wake up in the morning and go to a job and not have a blue eyeshadow and, you know, whatever. I still kind of feel that way, but I've gone from 3 bags to 1 bag.
Mm-hmm.
With the addition to airbrush makeup that I do, you know, I carry probably 200 bottles of different types of foundations, water, silicone-based, alcohol-based for the body, special effects. But now I've separated all of my kits. So I kind of have like a beauty kit.
Yeah.
Then I have a kit that is my airbrush kit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another kit that is, it has things like loose pigments, you know, and in bright yellow and
mm-hmm.
Electric blue eyeshadow and glitters and, you know, black lipsticks and stuff like that. I don't carry all that with me anymore. But when
yeah.
I go and do a, if I go and do a headshot, I take my beauty bag, which...
Okay.
I suppose you can just alternate, like you can take out dark foundation. Like if you know you're going to do a white woman, you can take out, you know, you can adjust your kit that way too per day or whatever. But
yeah, exactly.
So
and that's the great thing
about
the RCMA. Oh, sorry, the RCMA palette is that they have such a wide range of foundations that you can literally pack like 40 foundations or something in this tiny little palette. You know,
mm-hmm.
you could do hundreds of looks with those.
Yeah. And what's so funny is I'm in the process now of trying to do exactly just that, Anthony, have, like, different kits for different things. Because I was helping out today on this movie set on Mean Girls 2, and you should have seen the trunk of my car. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I swear, I think I tried to pack everything.
Oh,
and it was just, and it was just to do the, it was just to cover the photo shoot of, you know, some of the actors on that were on actually shooting on set, you know, just to cover a still photo shoot for Paramount. I swear I took everything.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll go to a photo
it's
shoot.
Ridiculous. I have to get
sometimes
myself out of that.
Well, sometimes I'll go to a photo shoot and I'll take my beauty kit with me, but I'll leave my airbrush and my, you know, bag of crazy stuff in the car, you know. I'd like to park in the shade or park where it's not going to get
right.
hot. But, you know, just in case, you know. You know
yeah.
It's hard. Some of us are very attached to our makeup, and we don't want to leave the home without anything. And I'm definitely one of those persons.
Well, we have a question from the chat room. Makeup is Art 1 is wondering about how you get around in L.A. and, you know, just a little bit about living in L.A. She's maybe contemplating moving there, maybe possibly in the future. So, you know, what is it like getting around in L.A.? Do you drive? Do you travel by public transportation? What's the best way to get around? What do you think?
To me, in L.A., you have to have your own transportation. I know some people that take the bus and the subway. The subway to me goes from nowhere to nowhere in LA. They're really, you know, even the bus system is it's not bad. I took the bus for 6 months a long time ago. It wasn't that bad, but my bags are so heavy. I couldn't see myself, you know, carrying my suitcase up and down the street to the next bus stop. So I was thinking.
I'm sorry.
I've heard people.
Oh, I am so sorry, but that just looks. That just. I have that visual, and I've seen people do it, and you know what? I am so proud of them. But I can't, you know, I do take the subway everywhere, but you can't do it for work. It's just, it ends up being impossible.
Right. I have a friend, she assists a lot of makeup artists, and she carries her entire kit inside a Zooka bag. And she has, like, you know, she has these tiny little palettes, and she has just enough foundation for, like, 3 or 4 people. And she has, you know, all her lip glosses, you know, reds, you know, pinks, nudes, and browns, all categorized in these tiny little bags, and everything she has, it looks like kind of like the Sanrio Surprises, you know, that store, they have like all these miniature things in it. That's what her kit looks like to me.
That's hot.
And, yeah, I like to have a full bottle of something. I don't like to have any. I don't like miniature products, but...
Well, I have to say that in New York, there's my friend who's like a top makeup artist there. She drags around everything in Ziploc bags, like every day. She's this hygiene queen where she really thinks that, you know, air has dust in it, and dust is skin cells. So just opening them, I don't know what her deal is, but she goes on every job with Ziploc, or new Ziploc bags on every job.
I've heard of this. My old agent one time told me, they asked me what I kept my makeup in, and I told them that I like to put my makeup in Ziploc bags, and she told me, I hope you plan on going to the makeup store and buying some new bags and not Ziploc bags today. So.
Yeah. No, I have mine in zipper bags, like it's the best way. Rather than boxes or anything like that, I have all mine in zipper bags, but I can't imagine, like, slapping a few sandwich bags on the counter people do it.
Sometimes I'll take a look out prior to the night if I know what I'm doing, and I'll put a look in a Ziploc bag. You know, that's no big deal. But most of my bags, like you just said, are zipper bags.
Mm-hmm.
So they look the most professional. I have them, you know, categorized from lips to creams to cheeks.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's all categorized
right.
into.
And if you get all the same bag, it's really chic when you have all the same bag. And if you can see through them, great. But there was even a time when I had like 20 bags that I got at some dollar store that were so amazing with a gold top and clear through. I think you guys saw those bags at last year's IMAX, by the way. Girls. And I think you commented on how beautiful they were.
We have 2 more questions from the chat room. One, back to the question about LA. Do you find that most of your jobs are in the city or are they in a big radius around LA?
Yeah, I mean, some of my jobs are in Santa Monica, from West Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It just depends on where, you know, there's Quixote and Smashbox Studios located all around the entire city of Los Angeles, from Glendale to Burbank to West Hollywood to Santa Monica, Culver City.
Culver City, right.
Those are the ones there's a few in Hollywood. But yeah, those are, you know, it's all the way around the whole entire city of Los Angeles, and sometimes even further, out in Palmdale, out in the middle of the desert. I've driven to Palm Springs several times, you know, for jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, so it just depends. You really need a car. I think it's just simple as that. Or car service, one of the two.
When I was just there for the IMET show, I put 600 miles on a rental. I had a few jobs. I did a photo shoot. And, yeah, I would think you need a car. Unlike New York, it's just really in your face that you don't need a car. It's not so in your face in L.A.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't driven in, like, 4 years. And I had to stop. You know, it was like, you know, my license wasn't taken away or anything. It's just I was not a successful driver. Let's just put it that way.
And I wondered and I worried. And I think at one point, you know, it is possible to get people to productions to pick you up or to send cars for you. If you're doing like some celebrity for a red carpet thing through a publicist or through a big company, you can get a car, I found out along the way. I am notorious for having arrived at every music video for who knows what PA from whatever company, or my assistants come, but I don't drive. And I have found that the little walking that I do because of not having a car has been my only exercise. And so it has, like, saved my life.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in Michigan, and I'm a non-driver. I've made it work. I have a New York state of mind, and I'm just not doing it. But if I was in L.A., I knew I would have to.
I was raised in New York, and that's why I came here. Like, I started in outskirts of L.A., but I ended up really growing up in New York, and I never drove until I got here, and then it was just a disaster.
Yeah.
I was afraid I was going to kill people, run over children. Like, I just didn't know what was going to happen. Every time I got in the car, I got pulled over. I got in a crash. Someone hit me, or I said hit someone. It just was endless to where I couldn't do it in L.A. If I lived in Michigan, I would probably drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what most people do.
We have one last question, and it's from Technicolor. She wants to know, do you like airbrush makeup, or do you like to just, you know, your regular hand painting? Which do you prefer?
It really depends on what it is that I'm doing. If I'm doing I like to airbrush for men's grooming.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really great. Yeah. I love
yeah.
airbrushing. The reason is because it's so fine and so practically invisible that they don't feel that they have any makeup on, and it sometimes just cancels out the redness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get that powdery texture on the skin, or you don't get that, you know, foundation look, or, you know, which sometimes you need them to look great throughout the day, and I just find that airbrush works really great for that. It also works great for just regular beauty bridal. It's long-lasting. I really mix it up. Sometimes I'll do brushing for, like, an entire month straight, and then I'll take out my Giorgio Armani foundation or RCMA and play with that for a couple weeks, and then I'll
mm-hmm.
go back to airbrushing. I like to mix it up. I don't like to use just
yeah.
one technique.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you this. We were talking a little bit earlier, and you mentioned Joe Blasco. How important is it to you for a makeup artist you know, to get training as far, maybe like go to a makeup school, and if you can't afford to do that, or if you don't have the desire to do that, to like take a full program, just to take classes, how important is that to you for your career and for their careers?
Back when I went to Joe Blasco, it was important for me to carry that that diploma, a paper that said that I was a graduate of a makeup school. It was really important for me to have that. Once I got it, and I think it's on the envelope that it came in. I've never taken it out. I've never used it. I've never showed it to anyone. I don't think that going to school is necessarily, I don't think you necessarily have to go to school. I think assisting an amazing makeup artist, carrying their brushes and packing their bags, if that's what you have to do, you get more education that way. You get to see, you get more on-the-job training. I got lots of technique taught to me at Joe Blasco, but I was never taught how to act on set, when to go in for a touch-up,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like that, things that you only learn when you're on set or through on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So
I 100%
agree.
What were you saying, Anthony?
Totally agree.
I don't think that school is necessary, especially some of the schools now are costing upwards of $10,000. You know,
yeah.
they're giving you, you know, you leave with a whole kit full of stuff that you probably, you know, won't really ever use.
Right.
You know, ever
We've
use again.
About
you can take,
that much.
Yeah, you can take
right.
a, you can take a class at, you know, Mac for, I think, like $100 and then redeem your class, your $100 in product.
Right. And, you know Joe Black.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Joe Blasco now, they have that NUA TV, and you can take classes online, and they're, like, I think $50 for some of the classes. And then if you're a member of the union, you know, your classes are, like, $30.
And I have heard about those.
You know, they teach special effects. You know, they teach everything.
I have to check that out. I need some lessons on special effects.
I think everybody should know
special effects.
Exactly.
You can never stop learning. You know, I'm learning something new every single day when I go to a job.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. Learning doesn't mean you have to be in a classroom.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I would advise. I thrust myself into being an educator late last year. On not a full-time basis, but more than I have ever had in my career, and I'm not going to tell you how long I've been around, but just by, you know, putting myself out there and getting to know more people on the level of, like, student, instructor, educator, whatever, the hands-on experience with somebody that knows a little bit more than you know is beyond invaluable, and you can't always get that in the class environment. If you admire somebody's work in your area, see if they, you know, if you do want to learn some things, I advise young makeup artists all the time. If there's somebody whose work you like, do they offer a private session for $50 to $100 where you can focus on a few things and tighten up on a few skills? The hands-on experience with the experienced artist, as Anthony's been saying, I just wanted to co-sign. It is invaluable, and it's been better for me than any of the so-called formal education that I've sought in makeup artistry over all these years.
Right. Absolutely.
Even when I've given a formal class or been a part of a formal, like, instruction or demonstration, I feel like I'm not giving enough information.
Yeah.
During that small and mid period of time. It's so much better to be, like Anthony said, on a set for 14 hours cleaning someone's brushes, watching them paint, and I wish I could convince my assistants to do any of this. I am lugging my bags, cleaning all my own stuff. None of them. They're just hovering.
Well, Maxie, if you need an assistant, I'm moving back to Manhattan this year.
But I'm in L.A. now. And I rarely work in New York. But I think that there needs to be some sort of collective group of makeup artists, professional makeup artists in the industry, and perhaps one unprofessional makeup artist such as myself, and travels across the country and give sort of like a seminar, like a Stars on Ice seminar. I know it'll take lots of promotion, but I feel like they really need that, and there's only, you know, in L.A., Miami, New York, you can encounter these artists and work underneath them and learn things. But if you're in Montana, you can't, really.
Right.
You know?
There's not that opportunity. I'm going to have to stop you right there because I want to get this question in before we run out of time because we got a little less than 2 minutes left. I just want to thank everybody for listening tonight, for calling in. Thank you to Erica. Thank you, Maxie. Thank you, Jen. I really do appreciate it. And thanks again to Anthony. But we also want to shout out the folks that are in the Beauty Lounge. Thank you to Makeup is Art One, to Technicolor, Nikki Rogers came on, and there were a few other people unnamed that came on. Thank you guys very, very much. Look out for Beauty Talk, the web series, coming soon. Hopefully by the end of the month, we'll be giving you more information on that.
Yay!
One last question for Anthony. 90 seconds left. What is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? Beauty comes from the inside. Personality really is beautiful to me. Their outside is just extra.
Mhm. Extra, huh?
I like that he mentioned personality because people do say the inside, but they never say personality.
Personality. I'm more attracted to a person's personality than I am their exterior. I think everybody has beauty in them. Well, I feel like I'm at a loss for words with this one.
You did it. I thought you totally said it in one sentence. You were like, beauty is from the inside. It's in their personality.
On the outside, it's extra. Yeah, that whole extra thing has me intrigued. I think I could take that a couple of ways. But thank you all again so much. We appreciate you all taking the time to join us. And, Anthony, again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Awesome.
We
thank
appreciate you,
for having
you coming
me.
On. Oh, no problem.
Anthony, so nice talking to you. Huge fan, huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you guys on the web.
Okay.